I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome, welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I'm excited about today's show because it's time for another Intercessor's Insight show. We get to talk to pastors and authors, leaders on every day, right? But I like to do this about once a month or whenever we're able to do it, to gather some girlfriends who are people who love the secret place with God, who spend time in that inner sanctuary, seeking God, listening for His voice. And when I have them on, I always hear from you saying, do this again, do this again. So I'm super excited to have Bonnie Newberg, Shannon Velzer, and Rosie Brosnan back on the show today. And we'll get them on in just a moment. But if you listen often enough, you heard recently an interview I did with Pete Grieg. And it was one of those interviews I want to go back and listen to again. I can't wait till we get him back on again. Over 20 years ago, he founded the 24/7 prayer movement, and God has worked through that man in such incredible ways. But out of that movement came the Lectio 365 app that I absolutely love. It's just so amazing. Anyway, when we had him on talking about hearing the voice of God, he says this: Jesus is what God sounds like. He's literally the living word of God. Hearing His voice is not so much a skill we must master, therefore as a master we must meet. And that's why we're meeting together today, to just leaning in, learning to lean in, to listen for His voice. It's a master that we must meet. And one of the things Pete said is, you know, there are different ways that God speaks to us. We may have denominational preferences, but if you go strictly on what's in Scripture, these are some of the ways that the Lord speaks to us: through Bible, through prophecy, dreams, visions, community, creation, and culture. If you want to hear more about that conversation, you can go on myfaithradio.com and do a search for Pete Grieg. But I say all that to say, years ago, Kevin and I started to ask God, because it's in the Bible, we thought, we're going to, you know, it doesn't matter denominationally how you feel about this idea, but it's in the Bible. So we're going to start asking God for dreams. Speak to us in our dreams. And this was years ago. And I'm not saying we have a dream all, you know, every day or even every week, but there are times where God has given us vivid dreams that have spoken to our hearts. Well, we knew we were getting instruction from God, and He confirmed it in His Word. And I say that to set up today's conversation. And Bonnie, I told you about this dream when we met for prayer earlier this morning, but I just want to share this dream because I think it's a good word for you as well. But in my dream, it was like last week I had this dream, vivid dream. I was at this like resort camp place, and I didn't work there, but I was very much a part of the fabric of this community. I was very at home there. I knew the people. I loved it there. And there were a bunch of newbies that had come in, and they were sitting at this long table, and they were new to the camp and all the ropes. And so I could tell that the servers and everybody were busy. So I just stepped in and smiled and said, hey, let me tell you, you know, what to expect. And I just sort of, I gave them a menu, and I talked to them about their time at camp and just things about meeting with God. And it was so interesting as I was going off to get them different, you know, their iced tea or whatever. This is just so like me, but I'm dancing from one table to the next. And I don't know if you ever watch American Ninja. You really ought to, but it's such an athletic show. But it's like they always show the B-roll of these athletes when they're training in the woods. They run and they jump off of a log and do a front tuck summy, and then they spin around and grab a branch of a tree and do another flip. And, you know, in my mind, I'm telling you, I can see myself doing that. So in this dream, it was like that, but I was dancing. So I'd push off a table and do a full twist, and then I'd land and do a pirouette. And it was amazing. I was telling Bonnie, I was awesome. I just was like dreaming. I was like doing this dance thing, and I was so joyful, pushing off of one table and doing another flip and just happy and in my element. And then as I'm doing this and I'm serving people with joy and everything, in the distance, in the far distant wall, I see this rectangle mirror on the wall. And it was just ratty, and it had ripples from being old, and it was tinted almost like you see old, I don't know, steel or whatever, something that gets kind of dimmed. You know what I'm talking about? And so it was ripply and dull, but I could see it in the distance. And when I flipped my leg up in the air, which I was with me, my leg was way up in the air, but I looked in the mirror, and it was nothing like that. And my heart sunk like, is that what I look like? And I instantly knew the next moment, that mirror's not telling me the truth. And then I woke up. So I sent that to a friend, an intercessor friend, who I trust profoundly. And I said, what do you think of this? And she came back to me and she said, Susie, there's a few aspects to this that stand out to me. And I'm telling you this for you because I feel like this is a really important word. She's like, you were with your people. You were in your element and you were serving and joyfully. And the dancing, she says, it's just so you, but you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You're in your element. But when you look to that far wall, she said, you saw that, you know, we see as in a glass dimly. And so we don't always see things correctly. She said, I just got the sense as I was praying for you that you're not supposed to take your cues from your perception of yourself. She says, you take your cues from God's perception of you. And when you do that, you're going to be your best self. You're going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So she says, do your dance, fill your space, you be you, and then take your cues from God and his perspective of you. And I just thought that maybe you needed to hear that today. You know, we're all called to fill our space and run our race, and we all have our different kind of people, right? And I just pray that God gives you just the capacity to be you, to get comfortable in your own skin, to take your cues from God, to start to get comfortable with the idea of how he sees you versus how you see you. And the reason I bring that dream up is because God does speak to us in so many different ways, and we need each other. We need the community of faith to bounce things off of. And Bonnie and I and another gal met this morning for prayer, and it's like we each brought a piece, and as we started to process, we got kind of a revelation of how should we be praying for the times right now, but we each brought a piece. And all that to say, this is why I'm bringing these godly women together, because I really believe they each bring a piece that we need to hear together collaboratively, and we want to pray for you. So I'm having a hard time opening up my zip whip, so I'll do that during the break, but I do in the distance see the zip whip screen. That's where you text, where your texts come in. And Kim, my producer, will help me with that as well. So don't wait. Do let us know how we can be praying for you. You can text 877-933-2484. So now let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Shannon Velzer and her husband, John, pastor North Star Community Church. It's a church they planted over 9 years ago in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Rosie Brosnan, you know her. She's no stranger to Faith Radio. She produces the show that follows this one, Afternoons with Bill Arnold, and she's an amazing wife, mother, daughter, friend, and an amazing praying woman of God. She's one of my go-to girls when I have a deep need of prayer. Bonnie Newberg is one of my oldest, dearest friends. She's been a mentor and a friend for, 15, 20 years, and I always want to hear what she has to say. So this is the one time I'll ask you girls to speak at the same time. Welcome!
Hello! Oh, thank you!
I love that dream. That was so great.
I was
being a ninja really with you.
Yes! Yeah. Oh, yes. Man. Yes. I mean, I'm a legend in my own mind. I'm just saying. I told Bonnie, you should have seen me. It was amazing, amazing. But the thing is, it is so interesting because, like my friend Lynn said, you can't really, if you take your cues from your perception of you, she said, you'll never fully live into all that God has. Mm-hmm. But how free and mighty would we be if we saw our reflection in the Father's mm-hmm. eyes? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And also, too, while you were saying that, I was thinking, how often do we think of ourselves outside of our physical image? And then mm-hmm. you see a picture and you go, I didn't realize I was sitting that way. And I feel like when we are doing those sort of things, when it's being reflected, it's more the enemy's attack on our imperfection.
Yeah.
Because outside of a photo, of a mirror, I never think of myself.
Same. Yeah.
Never. And so when you see those things, then it defines you a little mm-hmm. bit by an earthly standard mm-hmm. versus the godly standard that we should be walking in. I'm always surprised when I see a mirror. I'm like, okay, yep. Mm-hmm.
I loved that dream because I remember years ago, you know me, Susie, you know how I often see myself in that mirror. But I remember one time God spoke in my spirit and said, there is so much more to you than meets the eye.
That's so true.
And I thought, there's so much more to all of us than meets the eye.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. And if you could, friend listening today, if you could dare to see yourself, if you could dare to see yourself through the Father's eyes and you could know that he looks upon you with great affection. You know, Shannon, I wonder what we would attempt if we really, really got over ourselves and not in a way where we're just completely forgetting about ourselves, but seeing ourselves through the Father's eyes.
Well, I feel like you're speaking that word, that dream was just for me, and I know it wasn't. I'm just in awe of God giving you that and sharing that on the show because this has been a conversation I've been having all week long. Mm-hmm. And I had it with my husband the other day about just that. I think the popular terminology is the imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea that could I really do that? Could God really use me in that space or place? And I even had coffee with a girlfriend, and she was embarrassed to kind of tell me where she was going to school. I said, "Oh, you're back going to grad school. What are you? Where are you going?" And she got really shy, and she said, "Well, don't laugh." And I said, "What is it?" And she said, "Well, I'm going to Harvard."
Oh.
And I said, "Why would you?"
I would be like, "Don't be insecure, Romney.
Right.
That's a good day."
Yeah. No, I mean, she's always been smarter than most people, so I was used to that. But I said, "Why would you be embarrassed by that?" And she said, "Imposter syndrome. I don't feel like I'm a Harvard student."
Wow.
And I didn't feel like I belonged until I got my first A and then my fifth A. And now I kind of think maybe God has me there. Mm. But I think we all deal with that. And we hinder ourselves more than anything.
When you think of the parable of the talents and how, you know, Jesus was very much about stewardship. And, you know, when they're reporting back, "This is what you gave me, Lord. And look," and it's not about performance. It's not about earning. We know that, right? But it is about stewardship. And the one who buried his talents in fear, that was such a bummer. And it's like there are different reasons we bury our talents. And sometimes we just find it so much easier to believe the lie than the truth. And I'm just praying with all my heart that we can lean into who we can be because of who God says we can be, so that we can, you know, get over the enemy stuff and be bold and go forward. Let's pause here. When we come back, I kind of got ahead of us. I'll ask you each what the Lord's been speaking to you about, if you have a verse for me. And then we're going to dig into some of these prayer points. And boy, we welcome your prayer requests as well. I do want to tell you, you know, Shannon came with just a heart to talk about praying for families. And so I thought I would take this opportunity. We're going to give away 5 to 7 copies of my newest book. It comes out, I think, next week or something like that. May His Face Shine Upon You, 90 Biblical Blessings for Mother and Child. It's a hardcover blessing book. So there's a blessing for you, then one in kind of kid language that you can read over your child, and then a 10-pack of really beautiful quote cards. So we got 5 or 7, I think, to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, having a great conversation with our intercessors. They join me about once a month, Bonnie, Shannon, Rosie, and I always ask them, just pray and let me know what's on your heart and let's discuss. But we also like to give some time to praying for you as well. And so we welcome those prayer requests, and I also given away a handful of copies. It's a hardcover, my newest book. It's May His Face Shine Upon You, 90 Biblical Blessings for Mother and Child, along with some quote cards. So you can text in if you want, in on the drawing, just the word book, to 877-933-2484. If you've got prayer requests, send those in as well. And I talked about before the break, a dream about how we see ourselves. And this dear one says, "I see myself in the Father's eyes, but my family does not. It's painful." Oh, that is hard. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a little bit. How do you take your cues from God if you're not getting a consistent message from loved ones? But let's start with passages of Scripture. Bonnie, what's the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Well, he's been talking to me about the peaceable fruit of righteousness and how precious that is.
Mm.
That comes out of Hebrews 12:11, and it says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that have been trained by it." And I've been thinking about just the wonderful gift of peace and righteousness, and when you put those two together, and he's talking in here about discipline, and it's not joyful but painful.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're on a path that He's guided you to, and you pursue that, there is a peace that comes with that.
Yeah.
Do you know what
and
I mean?
And a fruit as well. As I'm thinking, as you're talking, the two passages on vision. Without a vision, people perish. And without a vision, people cast off restraint. And you think about well, a ninja. I'm just kidding. I'll drop it now. But, you know, think about it like an Olympic gymnast, you know. She's got her eye on those that three-minute floor routine for the Olympics. She's going to say a lot of smaller no's and even big no's so she can give the capital yes to that vision. Without a vision, people cast off restraint. But if someone has a vision, like God is saying, I want you, like your friend Shannon, going back to school, she's saying no to some things so she can say yes. And it's discipline. Yeah. It's painful. It's hard because it's self-restraint, self-denial at times, but she has a vision for the harvest. So we, that needs to make a comeback because it's, we're kind of in a day where almost anything goes, you know? What do you say, Shannon?
Well, first of all, this has nothing to do with the scripture, but I want to say I'm also a Muay Thai fighter because I'm a Ferrell's FXB girl.
Oh, so, well, you're actually
just like
a real one.
Ninja. I like to tell people that I am a trained Muay Thai fighter because I do Ferrell's.
Yeah, yes. No, that's right. My hubby did tell me, because I was telling people all the time that I'm a Navy SEAL. You know, he's like, honey, just saying it doesn't make it so. You should know that. So,
Anyway. Okay.
Really?
I was hoping if I kept telling people.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyways, but the scripture that God has put on my heart was that I've been reflecting on is Deuteronomy 4:9. And it's only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. And I just feel like, and we can get into this maybe a little more later, but I do feel like this generation is just, they need the next generations that have gone before them right now in this season to really speak the truth of the faithfulness of God, the word of God. You know, they say that when kids, for example, go through crisis, they don't understand because they don't have the developmental capacity to know it's going to end. There's going to be an end point. We're going to move forward. Things will change. And so a lot of our kids are really still in this limbo with all that we've been through in the world. And I feel like just a burden for this next generation. To encourage them, to steady them in the word of God, to speak the stories that we have that they haven't lived yet of God's faithfulness and to impart that into them so that they can go, okay, there is a faithful God, just like they did in the Old Testament. Yeah. That was just the Jewish culture. That's how they, you know.
That's how they learned.
That's how they learned.
And there is so much uncertainty. So to speak certainty to them is super important right now. Wow. Very, very good. What about you, Rosie, dear?
Well, so I kind of laugh with the Lord often about this because since 2020, Psalm 51 has been my psalm, and it's a psalm that keeps on giving. So I had kind of left it for a while, and then sure enough, about a month ago or so, he brought it back, and it's what he's been teaching me more is about what's going on in my inner man, because as the world is tumultuous and it's going back and forth, you know, we can take postures of peace, but if it's coming from white knuckling it because we should have peace and the peace of God should be with us, then it doesn't feel very peaceful and you come in and out of these places of rest. And so he just talked to me about, you know, you can look at the work of your hands as proof that I'm in your life. But I look at your innermost being, and I want to start there. And so it's Psalm 51, and it is, "Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being." And the psalmist is saying this to the Lord. "And in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom." And so that's where I've been sitting, and that's just taken me through a journey through Scripture and how often the Lord is talking about our innermost man.
Yeah.
First,
why?
Before we have these acts of service, before we work for him, the innermost man needs to be slain with the power of the Lord.
Yeah. And I was going to say, the reason that is because that is where lies go to hide. I mean, they're so, you know, in the innermost man, they hide in the shadows and then we live out of dysfunction. But when truth gets there, it's like there's brokenness when there are lies there. But when truth gets there, you make me know wisdom in the place where I had brokenness. Well, suddenly you've got credibility where you once had brokenness. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And I think it takes a lot of courage to go into those roots. To say, I've been watching this pattern in myself. Okay, Lord, I'm ready. Where does it come from?
Yeah.
You know, and then taking that time with the Holy Spirit.
Search me, oh God.
Because then it's kind of a peeling onion, you know. All of a sudden, he'll show you other memories, and you'll see it in yourself and go, oh, this feels familiar. What am I doing? What am I actually feeling? And so it's a quest to know yourself better in the eyes of the Lord, mm-hmm. which I think takes courage.
Indeed it does. Indeed it does. Let's see. I'm going to share what I've been sitting with, except we're coming up on the break here in a couple minutes, but I see a few prayer requests. Keep them coming. Well, when we get to the other side of the break, we'll pray for a number of you. But, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, I've been asking the Lord to help me heal. You know, my sleep is just an issue, and they say it goes hand in hand with Lyme co-infections, but there's other factors as well. And as I've been seeking God for wisdom, he's been scooping up a memory that was just a painful memory that he wants me to address. And so I've been thinking about that and just thinking about, I seek wisdom over here and he shows me this memory over here and how committed he is to our wholeness. It's like he really means it in the book of James, where he talks about, you need wisdom, ask, and I will give it to you. So I was sitting here thinking about this in John's Gospel, chapter 20, after the resurrection, where the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. That's probably where I would be. I mean, you think about these disciples, you know, they had found their Messiah. They never had seen a leader like this who identified with the outcast, with the sick, the lonely, you know, and who confronted the world's bullies, who was humble and winsome and joyful. They found their Messiah, and then he was brutally killed on the cross. So they're disoriented. So they're behind closed doors in fear. And Jesus meets them. He crosses, you know, that's what I say. There's no locked door that can keep Jesus out. He passes through that and he says, peace be with you. And as the Father sends me, I'm sending you. And he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And then a little bit later, the disciples told Thomas, because he wasn't there, we've seen the Lord. And he's like, I'm not going to believe it until I can touch those wounds. I'm not going to believe it. And 8 days later, they're behind locked doors again. And once again, Jesus shows up. And he passes through the doors and he says, Thomas, peace be with you. And he says, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. And he says, my Lord, my God. And he says, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Now, here's a few things. He doesn't tell Thomas, you're cursed because you don't believe. He met Thomas where he was at. But he is saying, Blessed are you who do believe without seeing. And I was thinking, Thomas walked with Jesus, but he also walked with these disciples, but he didn't accept the word of their testimony. And I feel like that one of the reasons I love to do this show with you girls is when we can testify to some of the things God has done, then we need to bow each other's faith to go, if he's done it for you, he can do it for me. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's healed you, he can heal me. If he brought your prodigal home, he can bring my prodigal home. And I think as people of God, we've got to not just rely solely on experience to say, do I know God? And do I know these people who are testifying, or does it at least bear witness with me? Well, I need to give some weight to the power of testimony, because we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives even unto death. But do know, if you're behind a locked door because you're all afraid, but you sincerely want to see God, he's going to pass through. There's no locked door that's going to keep him out. Mm. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to pray for some of you when we come back, and we're going to continue. We'll maybe even spend some time praying for our families, as Shannon has talked about, because she's so right. It is a time to be sowing faith seeds and speaking certainty and faith to our children. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Really glad you tuned in today. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. We do this once a month. We do something we call Intercessors Insights, and it's such a joy and a delight to have these three godly women in the studio with me, Bonnie, Shannon, Rosie, and we're talking every month when they come on. I just ask them ahead of time, what's on your heart? What's the Lord been speaking to you about? And we just take the hour and we just talk about the things the Lord's speaking to us in the secret place. We love to talk to leaders and authors. Well, I would say, you know, these are leaders as well, because one of the prayers that I've been praying a lot lately is raise up leaders to push back the darkness, mm-hmm. evangelists to bring in the harvest, and intercessors to move the mountains, mm-hmm. because there's a place of influence for all of us. And this is all hands on deck time right mm-hmm. now, friends. So these girls know how to pray. They love to listen to God's voice. And so we're going to take a few minutes here to pray for some of you. Just a quick reminder, thanks to Bethany House. We've got 5 or 7 copies of my latest book. It's a hardcover, May His Face Shine Upon You, 90 biblical blessings for mother and child. So there's a blessing for the mama and then one in kind of the kid language you read to the kid. And then there's a scripture thing and then a 10 pack of quote cards that are really beautiful, thanks to Bethany House. So you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. All right. So now we're going to pray. This dear one says, please pray for my prodigal sons who are both in their 30s and their wives. One son is expecting a baby in July, and they told me I can't try to shove religion on him, mm-hmm. and they know it's a boy. And this dear one, this dear mom, represents so many. Mm-hmm. And Bonnie, I wonder if you would take this one.
I will. Father God, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we lift this request before you. Lord, we know that mother's heart, and we're just asking, Father, that the grace of God that brings salvation will appear to her family, to her sons and his wife. Lord God, we just thank you, Father, that you are relentless in your pursuit of us. You love us. Lord God, you love these sons. You love this daughter-in-law. You love the situation that you are wanting to bring about in this family, and that is restoration. We commit this to your wonderful care, and we thank you, Father, that you can go after this one. You can send a witness into their lives. Yeah. You can hover around them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're asking you to do that. Yes, we just thank you, Lord, that you are for them. You want this more than that mother does. Mm-hmm. We commit this to your wonderful care in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And Shannon, if you'd pray, it says, please pray for my grandson, 11 years old, moved to this area 2 years ago, does not have one friend. He loves people, is kind and generous, but now depressed, needs a friend so badly. Thank you very much.
All right, God, we just lift up this young man. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, would you begin to just draw out the people around him that are godly, that are encouraging, God, that are close to you, and would you allow them to surround his life, God? I pray that there would be just open doors when he's in school, when he is out playing or doing sports or whatever activities he does in church, God, would you literally begin to open relationship doors for this young man? And would you, God, would you take away all of the lies of rejection that the enemy would put in him that would make him think that he is unworthy of friendship? Would you remove that in the name of Jesus?
Yeah.
Would you give him a confidence inside of himself to know that he is a wonderful young man, and that, God, that there would be a blessing for the friends on the other side of this situation, that he will be a blessing to others. And God, I just pray, it's so heartbreaking to see our kids struggle.
Yes.
Would you just steady the hearts of mom and dad and grandma? Would you just let them have peace? And God, even direct them to the right places and spaces for him to meet other great young people. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Kim, you can keep that music going. Before I ask Rosie to pray, I will tell you, being in radio almost 16 years now, the leaders that I have talked to who said, referred back to those times in their lives when they didn't have one friend, when they had situations that were so painful, and it's so hard as a mom or grandma to watch them suffer, but God is so with them, and those are the forging times, aren't they, that forge character? So I pray that he would become an incredible leader and a friend finder, that he would seek out those who are lost and without friends, and that he would just get a revelation of who he is, and then from there move out and reach out. All right, this dear one. Oh, here we go. Rosie, please pray for my 23-year-old daughter living in a gay lifestyle. Hearts are broken. She's been involved in this lifestyle for past 5 years. We pray God will deliver her, help her to live a life of holiness.
Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the power of praying parents. I thank you that that this child, this daughter, that they know who she is and you know who she is, Lord. I pray for a renewal of her identity, Lord. I pray for the doors of utterances to be open to speak the mysteries of Christ, Lord, that she would have a contact with you, God, that where you could speak to her and speak in the love that you have for her. Lord, I also bind the enemy, Lord. I bind the strong man that is trying to steal her identity from what you have created her to be in your perfect order, Lord. And I thank you, God, for patience. I thank you for love that transcends our understanding that comes through you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for loving relationships that can put their arms around her, Lord, and bring her into a new understanding of who she really is, Lord. Lord, I also ask for all ties to be broken from the gay lifestyle, Lord, that they would not be attractive, that this would be bound and actually removed and uprooted in her life. And Lord Jesus, as we pray for this one child, Lord, we ask that it be multiplied across your kingdom, mm-hmm. for this is a epidemic across our world that we do not know who we are as created in you. So Lord Jesus, I am asking that you would send hosts of heaven to bring down the strongholds, tear the veils that the enemy has placed around our identity and who we really are as sons and daughters of the High King. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Lord. This one says, prayers, please, for a broken marriage and impending divorce, therefore also a broken family. It is devastating, breaks my heart, and certainly God's heart. Prayers that I can thrive in Christ, where else I can and be a good mom in the midst of all this. Prayers for salvation for my son and sobriety and protection over the hearts of us all. What an amazing, just the way that you've worded that just shows such a beautiful heart, dear one. And Lord, I pray for this beautiful, broken-hearted mom and wife. And God, I'd ask you to be the God of all comfort. But as Bonnie and I were talking this morning in our prayer, we don't want to settle for things. We're not going to settle for this until there is no other more hope. There's always hope, right? And so, Lord, we just extend our faith with hers, and we pray for a miracle. We pray for intervention. I ask, God, that you would take what the enemy has meant for evil against this family, and you would turn it for good. And devil, we bind you. We forbid you from bringing division to this family. You are bound in the name of Jesus. Jesus told us he's given us authority over all the power of you. And so we bind you. We hand those bonds to the one true King. That's Jesus. And we loose the power of your spirit over this family. Mm-hmm. And God, I pray that this dear one would not give up hope. I pray that you'd be the hound of heaven and go after this husband. Speak to him in his dreams. Speak to him on the radio. Mm-hmm. Speak to him when he sees a magazine article, when he's checking out at the store. Let him see everywhere he turns. May he be reckoned with truth. And I pray the truth would set him free. I pray you give him dreams, God, about his future, of how this would play out if he continues down this path. I pray you'd show him in dreams collateral damage from selfish, destructive choices. God in heaven, we ask you to go after him, bring him home, and give him a heart to not only fight for his marriage, but to lead his family deeper into the fellowship with you, Lord. We're asking for multiple miracles. Bring healing, bring redemption. And I pray that the turnabout in his heart would activate their son's faith. In Jesus' name, we pray for great things for this family. Mm-hmm. In your name we pray. Amen. Wow. You know, these are all just a taste of what's going on, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Of what's going on in the body of Christ and even in the world at large. And this is why I always say, when the enemy comes against you, the enemy wants to single you out and put you in a small story. But God is like, step out of the small story. Put yourself in the big story, because you are one of many who are dealing with very similar things. So if you're praying for your prodigal, pray for all the prodigals, right? Or your marriage or whatever.
Amen.
And, you know, Shannon, one of the things that you wanted to address coming in was just, finances. And it was interesting how the word that Bonnie had about discipline and reaping a harvest of righteousness in due time. Talk about just why that one was so impressed upon your heart.
You know, I don't know why, other than just, well, I know why. I guess looking at, you know, as pastors, we do see that one of the hardest, and you've talked about it as well, one of the hardest things, Susie, for people to submit is their finances before the Lord. And I do, I mean, you don't have to be a person of discernment or prayer to see that there is a shaking when it comes to the global economy and the resources that are out there. And I, you know, my husband, we even talked about this in the fall, and I said, honey, we have to do a series on finances, because the people of God, we need to make sure that our resources that God has entrusted with us with are right before him. And I just have a burden for those who are really struggling with that area, that, you know, we may not have, my husband and I as pastors, we may not have huge amounts of resources and finances, but I have no fear over God's provision in our life, because that area is submitted under God. And so I do feel that this is the time we have to look at. Hezekiah was known for someone who could look and see the season that he was in, and that's wisdom. And so as the people of God, it's our time to make sure that our resources and our finances are submitted before the Lord, so that when times of trouble or challenge come before us, we can go, God, please bless and provide. Not that we can't ever ask the Lord of that, but we can't expect when there's an area of disobedience in our life for the blessing and favor of God to be upon that.
I've never met one person who hasn't, when they submit their finances and their will to biblical principles and trust God, there's no going back, because when you enter in and experience God as your provider, there's just nothing like it. And so that is just one of the passions of my heart, is to see a revival of generosity and of faith in this area. And I thought it was so interesting, Shannon, how in your notes you were saying how it's talking about Joseph of the Old Testament, how it was interesting how a famine is what brought his family back together. And aren't so these good. Two of the greatest stresses in people's lives right now is fear around family and finances. Maybe say a word about that, and I'd love to have you other two comment on it.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. In fact, I've got to be honest, I wrote this information, the scriptures and the ideas earlier this week, and then I saw on the news the last 2 days, there was talk about, you know, the concern about lack of food shortages. And we've been hearing these things. It's not the first time, but I just kept coming upon story after story in my social media feed as I was kind of scrolling, and then hearing and seeing people talking about that. And I just thought, you know what? If this is an area that as believers we can submit to the Lord, we can walk in peace when we hear and see these stories.
That's right.
It doesn't cause fear in me. It just causes wisdom to rise up and go, well, maybe I don't need to spend on certain things that aren't necessary. I need to be wise right now. But there is no fear. It doesn't rob my peace. And I have empathy, but also just kind of an encouragement for people who haven't yet taken those faith steps to honor God's biblical commands for us financially. There is such peace that is in that. There's such freedom. And so I just want everybody to experience that freedom.
And conversely, there's all kinds of anxiety and fear when you're out of sync with God and that you're not living in the realm that he's asked of you. You know,
1,000%.
On a side note, you know, some of the guests I've had in the past have said you should store up food about, you know, several months worth. So we've got some of that, and our kids are like, what are you waiting for, the apocalypse? I'm like, laugh now, but you'll be coming over for some of our dried food.
Well, and to that point, I mean, Joseph also was told to store up for the drought. And there's, you know, the media can be, oh boy, it's hard to sift through it and find truth. And that's, I think, where it comes back to why the Lord has been telling me to go into my inner man, because when you can get to that place, you do hear wisdom, and you'll be able to say, if I didn't have any media whatsoever and the Lord was asking me to grab some dry food to help other people who might not be listening, you know, or whatever, then you have that assurance because it's, you can tell the difference between the Lord speaking to you versus other people, man, trying to put you into positions. I mean, I know that that's not very clear, but once you start actually turning things off and going, Lord, what are you telling me? And where are my roots? Like, why am I holding on to my finances? Am I really afraid in this area? Those are some really deep questions. And I don't know, Gary and I have had to ask ourselves that question over finances several times in our marriage,
And self-protection is the default of fear. And, you know, it might be that as we're going into this time that God calls you to sow generous seeds. You know, we've done some work in Rwanda, and God is asking us to do more. And there's so much uncertainty about the future. Right. And it's like, in the natural, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But in the kingdom, it's like, all hands on deck, seek first the kingdom of God. He'll take care of the rest. Right. And then you enter this adventure of faith, and it's so worth it. So, Bonnie, I'll get your thoughts on the other side of the break. I got a handful of copies of this blessing book, Mother Child Blessing Book. And I got to tell you, these awesome, there's a 10-pack of quote cards. They're gorgeous scenic pictures with quotes from the book, but I love this one. May his saving grace and enabling power compel you to dream with him, believe in him, and take crazy faith steps because of him. You want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
Never has, never will. My God is still the same.
He is still the same. And you know, when you start to think about the reality that he's the same yesterday, today, forever, that he's the one who parted the sea. He's the one who told the people of the Israelites to march around the walls of Jericho and then shout. And I heard, you know, when the walls fell down, the actual walls fell in and they created ramps. And so the very obstacle became a launching pad for to launch them into their next place of promise. So as I was texting one of these dear listeners, it ain't over till it's over.
That's
so we
true.
Need to get a little grit in our growl.
Man.
Just saying. All right. This is Suzy Larson Live. It is an Intercessor Insights show where we get to hear from these godly women who love the praying place. And they pray and pray. And we've got a few more requests that have come in. We'll tackle some of those as well. But Bonnie, I want to hear your thoughts. As Shannon was talking about family and then talking about finances and how interesting it was how God did use a famine, a hardship, to bring the family back together. I love that with Joseph of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then Rosie was talking about just if we were to turn all the bad news off and just hear the word of the Lord, what would we do? What would he be telling us? We would be led by the Spirit.
Well, I liked what Rosie had to say about you know, storing up. You're not storing up just for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the principle applies with our finances too. You know, years ago when the Lord told us to get out of debt, it wasn't so we could spend all this money on ourselves and buy the biggest and the best. It was to foster in us generosity,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a way that, you know, it's not all about you. It's being willing to go in and finance the things in the kingdom that God is putting his finger on in your life,
mm-hmm.
you know?
So
mm-hmm.
beautiful. Yep. So good. And again, we miss out on so much when we stay in the small story. God wants mm-hmm. us to live the big story. So, Kim, if we could have a little music, let's grab a few more of these prayer requests, if that's okay. Karen. So she says her youngest is pregnant with her first, with her first one. Oh, wow. Rosie, would you pray for that dear one and her pregnancy?
Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, I thank you that new life is always new hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you, Lord, for the assignment that you've already designed and have planned out for this new love. Lord, my highest calling is that they may know you as Savior, Lord, that they may hear you in their spirit, that they may live a righteous life before you, Lord. I pray a special anointing over Karen, the sweet new mom, Lord, that she may teach her child and her future children, Lord, all about who you are without fear, without condemnation, Lord, but she would pour in. So often as parents, Lord, we can see both the beauty of our children and the Achilles heel. So, Lord, I just pray that she would see the beauty over the Achilles heel, that she would pour into, speak into being what is not yet, always for this child, speaking hope into her future, speaking faith into her future, Lord, and speaking promise, the promise that you have. Lord, let there be safety in the process of birth. Let there be safety over this child for their whole life. And Lord, for the grandma, Jesus, let the wisdom flow from one generation to the next. For we did not labor in vain. We do not labor in vain. Our children are not meant for calamity, but rather for blessing to you, Lord, from generation to generation to generation. Amen. Isaiah 63.
Amen.
Amen.
Please pray for son-in-law's anger issues, that God surrounds him with people of faith. And I'm going to tackle this one. You know, anger, they say, is a secondary emotion, secondary to fear, hurt, or frustration.
Mm.
And so, Father, I pray that you would help him, just as we were talking about trauma.
Mm.
I pray that you'd bring to the surface what he's afraid of, what he's hurt about, what he's frustrated about, and that you would uproot this thing at its roots and that you would heal him in the most amazing way, that this wouldn't just be about self-restraint. This would be about deliverance, that he would literally have a breakthrough and become tender and become grateful because of your presence in his life. Bless him. Bless the family. Bless these in-laws so they know how to pray for their son-in-law in Jesus' name.
Yes.
All right, Shannon, for this one, pray for me and my family as we're about to enter the grieving process. Their mom has stage 5 cancer in her throat. Oh, is currently in hospice. Help me to grieve well.
Mm.
Would you pray for her?
Oh, Lord, we just lift up this listener, God, and we just ask right now that the peace and the comfort of God, of your Holy Spirit, would surround her at this time, God. I pray that, Lord, that there would just be a touch of God on the situation, on the person, God, that is sick and struggling. God, would you allow the pain and all of the side effects of this cancer, God, would you allow them to be removed in Jesus' name? And would you allow there to just be a comfort in her life, God, at this time? And I pray that, God, you would allow, God, the word says that we do not mourn like those who do not know you. God, we can mourn even and have joy. We can mourn and have beautiful memories. We can mourn and grieve and have things that are special experiences that we hold on to. And I pray that in this time, you would give them that gift of just sharing things that they can smile and laugh and celebrate over together. And that, God, it would be a witness to the people around them that are watching this process, that they would see that even in hard times that we have the joy of the Lord, because we know that this is not our eternal home, and that, God, they will be reunited in heaven. And I pray that that would be a witness. And God, I just ask, surround them, remind them, God, that this is a temporary home, and remind them, God, of their eternity with you and with one another. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We've got a number of them that have come in, and we will pray as a team because our producers grabbed these off of our text board. So there's one I want to grab real quick, and then I have a question for each of you that I'm going to ask for just a one-line answer. But this one is for my cousin. Recently discovered cancer, has returned stage 4. She and her husband just became parents to their miracle baby a few months ago. Please pray for her complete healing and for her comfort and perseverance. God in heaven, we are asking for a miracle in this family's life. In Jesus' name, Lord. In fact, again, I pray that she would represent many. We're praying for many miracles, God, of people who are devastatingly ill right now. God, would you intervene, and would you turn this story around? Lord God, I pray that the white blood cells in her body would rise up like an army and march through her body and devour this cancer in Jesus' name, that she will not die, but she will live and declare the works of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. And the rest of you friends, we'll grab those and pray as a staff. And you got about 15 seconds each to answer this. What do you know about God now that you didn't know 5-10 years ago? Maybe you know it about him deeper. What do you say?
He's as faithful as the day is long.
Amen. Love it. What do you say?
Oh, gosh. I would say the same thing, that God can be trusted, that he is faithful, and that the story doesn't always end the way that we fear, but that God is faithful throughout all of our stories, the good and the bad, the ups and the downs.
Amen.
And God is sovereign, and in his goodness, he makes things right.
Amen. That he is too good to be true, but it's all true.
Yes. Amen.
You know, and one other thing, too, is he knows where you hurt. This is the thing. You know, I remember as we're getting ready to go out here, you know, we had a big tornadic kind of hailstorm a couple years ago, and everybody in our neighborhood had massive hail damage. And it was a weird tornadic thing. So it was like this swirling hail. So everybody had hail damage on every side of their house. They're like, we've never seen this, right? And the guy, the adjuster, came out and he says, don't worry. He says, we see damage even where you don't see damage, and we're going to make it all right. And it just kind of hit me so hard because I thought, you know what? God sees hurt where we don't even see hurt, and he's going to make it all right. Yes. He sees every hurt in your heart. He sees every heartbreak in your story, and he is in the process of redeeming all of it. And girls,
amen,
come back again, because I always feel like we're just getting started. But thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So great. Well, I pray you found some encouragement here today. We so appreciate you for tuning in. And again, I see more prayer requests that have come in. We're going to grab those. And we have an amazing praying staff at Faith Radio. I wish you could just peek in at our staff meetings, because we love to pray. So please never be shy about asking us for prayer. Hey, I'll leave the drawing open for a little bit here on the book. May His Face Shine Upon You, 90 Biblical Blessings for Mother and Child, along with a 10-pack of cards. Just text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. God is good. His promises are true, and he will always make a way for you. So keep your head up. Keep walking. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.